Greetings, friends and gentle listeners, and welcome to episode 34 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast, coming to you from meteorologically challenged, if not somewhat cooler, Palm Desert, California, here in the heart of the golf and sporting bosom that is the Palm Springs area and the Coachella Valley. I'm your host, Judd Spicer, four-time award-winning writer, associate member of the Golf Writers Association of America, former ESPN radio co-host, 11.4 handicap, so on, so it goes. Getting this show underway, totally sober, but nonetheless a tumbler, couple cubes, bourbon in my hand, because it is a celebratory episode. It is an anniversary episode. Episode 34 represents 1 year, somehow, of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Made it a year. I can't thank you all enough for the interest and support for 12 months of this endeavor. Although, gentle listener, you are not alone. I am asked from time to time for some stats, some analytics. Well, how far have we made it in 1 year? Briefly, I will tell you, the program has done pretty well. Downloaded in 20 different countries. Listened to in 429 cities across this great union. It's encompassed by 45 different states across the USA. 45, you say? What about you, Maine? Where have you been? I like you. I've been there. I think I went to that 24-hour L.L. Bean. No downloads from Maine. Rhode Island? Never been. They don't listen. Sensing a trend here. New Hampshire? Nada. Zero downloads from New Hampshire. Come on, folks. Vermont? Let's go. Didn't I write in Bernie Sanders in 2016? Nothing from Vermont. And lastly, still need to check the box on West Virginia. But despite the omission of those five, still done all right. Downloads in 45 different states. Also, friends, I want to let you know that to recognize this one-year anniversary, implementing a video element for what I envision most of the interviews moving forward on the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Got to have those moving pictures. That's what the kids are doing. Can find that on YouTube. Can also find snippets that I will post on respective social media handles, Spicer Speaking on Facebook or at Spicer Speaking on Twitter. Be posting some of those interviews and conversations on those pages, including today's conversation with a great guest, Ernest Sasena. He chairs the Tockett's Golf Course Neighborhood Association. He's leading the effort of what we're calling Save Palm Springs Golf, which you can find online on savepsgolf.org. Mentioned Tockett's. Well, it's 36 holes at Tockett's Creek. They're under some threat of being no more. Ernest is trying to keep those golf courses in play. Can actually touch upon this in a broader scope and spectrum. I'm going to tell you about some recent articles, but we're going to get the details on Save Palm Springs Golf and savepsgolf.org, which includes a petition when we visit with Ernest via audio and video here in just a moment. Haven't had a show for a couple weeks. That's because of the aforementioned deadlines. Just a couple things that have been put out of late that I wanted to let you know about. But I should first tell you that this 1 year wouldn't be possible. None of this would be possible without a trio of awesome sponsors. That list starts weekly with Perform Better, PerformBetter.com. All your gym, fitness, workout, seminar needs. You know, you go on PerformBetter.com now and until the close of September, you're going to find an awesome summer sale. 40% off, a host of items, well over 80, nearly 90 of them. Your home gym, you're building an entire facility, check it out at PerformBetter.com. Desert Willow Golf Resort, Get your tee times and all manner of information at DesertWillow.com. Firecliff, Mountain View courses, respectively, Palm Desert Golf Academy. And you're going to see right on the splash page when you go on there that the Platinum Club Card I've been telling you about, offering all manner of golfer benefits, not to mention finding a tire in the pro shop or just having lunch. Those are included as well. You can find that when you go to DesertWillow.com. If you get that Platinum Club Card before the onset of October, you're going to save $100. Internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebry. Find them online and their vast portfolio at the Hennebrys, HENEBRYS.com. I miss Johnny, my golf pal, my golf partner, my playing competitor. He's been up yonder, Washington State, for the whole summer, and I guess we still are technically in summer. This is usually about the time when he starts heading back, he and the lovely Linda. Look forward to getting Johnny back in the desert proper. Until we have him here, until he and I get back on the golf course, take a peek at thehennebrys.com. Told you about some of those articles. A few weeks hence, going to be talking a little bit more about the inaugural autumn edition of the BNP Paribas Open, being played in the fall for the first time. It's happening early in mid-October. Had a piece come out, actually a couple of them over the last few months, but a more recent one for the Greater Palm Springs CVB, although I think that's now known as the Visit Greater Palm Springs CVB. If someone wants to correct me, please feel free to do so. Where to drink and dine at the BNP Paribas Open. Rest assured that for the Maiden Fall edition, there are some new imbibing and dining options at this year's event. If you want to read about them, check it out at Visit Greater Palm Springs. Our friend Ryan Ballingy, remember Ryan? He's the publisher, owner, contributor, jack of all trades at Golf News Net, golfnewsnet.com. Had a piece come out, I think it was last week for Ryan, on 3D golf clubs, 3D printing, additive manufacturing. It's kind of weird how this article came to be. Did a piece on the same company, Desktop Metal, Burlington, Massachusetts based. And they work in 3D printing in all manner of things. But the article I did was actually on dentures, believe it or not. And the PR person said, hey, I know that you namely write about golf, or that's your sweet spot. By the way, we make golf clubs. Want to find out more about how they do it and how this could be the future of golf equipment? Check that out at Golf News Net. Lastly, certainly not least, pair of new pieces that just came out for the September issue of Golf Course Industry Magazine. I told you about 3 or 4 weeks back, down in Rancho Palos Verdes at Terranea Resort, playing the links at Terranea. That article, Beyond the Sea Par 3, is now out in the new issue of Golf Course Industry, talking about the fun, the beauty, the playability, the sustainability that you're going to find at Terranea Resort. Additionally, friends, this kind of brings us back to the conversation I'm going to have with Ernest. California AB, that's Assembly Bill 672, which is basically an attempt to take a 5-iron to the heart of municipal golf, accessible golf in the state of California. This is a piece on AB 672, talking with all manner of experts throughout the golf industry. And as these experts, including but not limited to Craig Kessler with the SCGA, Jeff Jensen with the GCSAA, and beyond, as they all mentioned, you know, AB 672 was initially constructed in a super clumsy way by Christina Garcia out of Bell Gardens. It was kind of destined to fail. But as all these gentlemen in the article predicted, it's coming back. It's a 2-year bill. And according to Craig Kessler, again of the SCGA and the Governmental Affairs, some messaging that he put out this week, this bill is already being reconstructed. It will be back in January. So if you're a municipal golfer, a municipal golf employee, your course is under threat. And so this is going to play right into the conversation I'm going to have with Ernest here shortly. Additionally, if you want to read more about AB 672 and how this is trying to attack your public course and use that land for other purposes, you can find that in the new issue of Golf Course Industry Magazine. All that offered, friends, let's get to today's chat with Ernest Cicena. All right, friends, as prefaced, it's a one-guest town on episode 34 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast, the one-year anniversary of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. We got one guest. It's a good thing that we got a quality one, a very timely one. Welcome Ernest Cicena, among other titles. Ernest, appreciate you joining, man. Ernest is the chair of the Tockets Golf Course Neighborhood Association. He is also the president of Save Palm Springs Golf, which you can read all about at savepsgolf.org. Ernest opened up this show telling listeners, and now as we welcome viewers as well, about a new article that just came out in recent days for me for Golf Course Industry Magazine regarding AB 672, which, albeit a totally failed legislative attempt, at the onset, everybody in that article, and these are industry experts across the West Coast, that this thing was going to come back. It was going to come back more refined. It was going to come back more focused. You and I both received literature yesterday. I know I got mine from the SCGA, Government Affairs Association, and Craig Kessler, saying that, you know, they've already done it. They told me in this article when we put together a couple months ago that this thing is going to be sharper. It's going to be more dangerous to municipal golf courses that want to turn into affordable housing. Undoubtedly a problem here in Southern California, but didn't take that long. They've already refined it. And when the new session starts in January, it's a two-year bill and it's coming right back. Getting to what you are doing regarding the 36 holes at Tockets, I was just out there a couple of weeks ago. I was playing, I believe it was the Legend course with my boy Gabe Ayala. And we couldn't help but notice. And he asked me, I think, from the first or second hole, he's like, dude, what are those signs? And right. I said, through the course of the round, I'm gonna tell you more about what those Save PS golf signs are that I felt it was impressive to see in a lot of yards and a lot of lawns across that golf course, and I can trust all 36 holes. Give us the lay of the land, man. I know that this situation a little bit different than what we're talking about with AB 672, but it's still totally in the same wheelhouse. A municipal public golf facility is under threat of being turned into something else.
True. CPS Golf, that as the chairman of TCG Neighborhood, Tuckwitch Creek Golf Neighborhood, it's been just talked about ever since I moved here. And I've only been here about a year. And it's been different things. It's already been sold. It's going to be sold. It's nothing you can do. I mean, just information. Nobody really had facts. And there was a lot of neighbors that were getting concerned, obviously, for different reasons. And they kind of started splitting off, doing their own thing, trying to make people aware, trying to get the word out, let everybody know, feel included in participating and doing something. And it was kind of all over the place. As the chairman, I felt I had to get them organized. I mean, I had people reaching out to me, just please, if there's anything that you can do. So I felt organized. We have to get organized if we want to get any kind of message across to anybody. A neighbor actually was the one that created the signs. And he had also put out some flyers. We had some people that did want to start a paper petition, posts online. So he created the yard signs, which was amazing. And they took off like wildfire. So he had volunteers walking, going door to door, handing them out to neighbors. And this was just, again, wanted everyone to be aware. He wasn't asking for money, just wanted to get them out there. And it took off. From there, I went ahead and I started the petition, trying to help out another neighbor that wanted to start going door to door. I figured there's got to be an easier way online. So we started the petition. We're up to over 1,700 signatures right now. And it was until another friend had said, hey, do you know this person? And I said, no, I don't know who this person you're speaking of is. And they said, well, he's already claimed to capture the domain of Safe PS Golf. And it kind of course, caught my attention. And he gave me his information, reached out. And Richard and I have, he's a golfer here on Tockwitz, saw the signs, very similar to what you did. And he too wanted to get involved. And so we partnered up. He wanted to get the website going. And I mean, within days, it seemed like we created Safe PS Golf.
Let's talk about the Oswit Land Trust now. In I guess contrast to what I mentioned with AB 672, again, that bill is aimed at taking away protections, park protections, essentially, that golf courses have enjoyed, deservedly so, in my opinion, for over a half century. That is not the aim with the Oswit Land Trust. What they have intention to try and do with the 36 holes at Tockets. They're trying to turn it into something else.
They are trying to turn it into something else, a desert preserve. And soon as I say that, everyone asks, what is that? It has been, they do have their website. They have a lot of pretty pictures, but we haven't yet, we still don't understand fully what a desert preserve is going to look like. The way I understand it with talking to Oswit, it can be anything that we want it to be. Well, we just haven't seen a lot of plans come to fruition at this point. There's still a lot of questions on how they would be able to maintain such a large parcel because it's their plan is not just Tockwitz Creek Golf, but 36 holes. It's also Mesquite and Bel Air golf courses. And they are totally different situations, in our opinion. We actually support Oswit and their movement towards Bel Air. Bel Air has been dilapidated, closed. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, it's been
It's an
shut down for
eyesore.
like a decade, 8 years, something like that.
It's an eyesore. It really is. I'm sure the neighborhood surrounding it is more than welcoming a desert preserve. It's change, just change. The Mesquite, it's privately owned. We don't have much control there, but I believe it's public information. That owner is looking to develop it or sell it to a developer and turn it into condos. That's an actual threat, and that exists. And so I could see where the neighborhood is wanting to prevent condos from going in. Tockwitz Creek Golf is not the same situation. It is a municipal golf course. The city is not actively trying to sell it. Currently, there is no developer that's banging on their door saying we want to purchase this. I mean, majority of it is in a FEMA flood zone. Most of the resort course and the talk with the Legends course is in a FEMA flood zone, which adds an additional complication for any kind of developer wanting to come in here. Impossible? No. Difficult? Very.
Well, the courses rather are not technically for sale. The
True.
land has been appraised, and the city did partake in financing that appraisal, correct?
And they did. They did. They went ahead. They split the cost with Oswit, which I believe kind of gave everyone maybe the wrong intention of what the city was doing. The city was approached by Oswit and talking with city council. It was just agreed upon that in order to entertain any kind of offer, they needed to understand the value of the property. It'd been a while since an appraisal had been done, and so they moved forward with it. But what it did was it sparked a lot of people to question why are they partnering up with Oswit, thinking that this was already a done deal. And rumors really started to just escalate after that. And that's what we've been trying to do is just bring facts to people.
Along with the timing of AB 672, and again, friends, that's going to come back. It's a two-year bill. The onset of the year, it's going to be right there. Timing is also key in this matter, Ernest, in that citywide listening or community input session. The city is interested in hearing from Palm Springs residents, and that timing, we're right in the sweet spot right now, correct?
Correct. They've announced that they will be hosting a listening session, a citywide listening session, That right now, tentative date is for late October. We had asked if they can push it. Originally, it was for September. We just wanted to make sure everyone was back in town, so we asked for October. So we're still working with that time frame. What they're it looks like it most likely won't be live. It will be Zoom, considering COVID conditions at the time, and we're anticipating a very large turnout for Saving the Golf Courses.
Friends, you're tuning in to the Spicer Speaking Podcast. My guest is Ernest Cicena. He's the chair of the Tockets Golf Course Neighborhood Association. He is additionally the president of Save Palm Springs Golf. All the things that we've been talking about on this episode, you can find online at savepsgolf.org, including but not limited to a link to the petition that has been created, which has a lot of signatures, mine included, by the way. I know that when you put out these petitions, you know, most people put a goal. Not everybody, but most people do. I believe that yours was maybe 2,500. Is that correct, Ernest?
We weren't aiming for a number.
Okay.
It was really just trying to get anyone that shares the same opinion to bring them together and present that to City Council.
Okay, but what do you think is a palpable number that you would personally like to reach when you present this to the City Council?
I mean, the more the merrier. I mean, honestly, I was very excited to see when we hit over 1,000. Okay. That first week that it was out, I want to say we had about 700-800 signatures. It was going very fast. Again, over 1,700. Again, still very happy with that, but always looking for more signatures, more people that want to participate or just get involved in any way, shape, or form.
And talking about that involvement, we mentioned the petition. I've got a few friends and colleagues that have also donated a few bucks. But among those options, people that are concerned about this, concerned about potentially losing these golf courses or losing this property for alternate purposes, what can they do? What do you suggest they do?
It just depends on how much they want to get involved. I mean, it can be as simple as signing a petition. It could be putting up a yard sign. Right now, I do have some extra yard signs that I'd be willing to give out to anybody locally, just to get that word out. And then if they want to get actually involved, by all means, reach out to me, and because we're handing out flyers on the golf course at certain weekends. I think we'll be out there this next weekend on the Legends course. There's a number of different things that we can come up with, and just if you have an idea. We're always looking for ideas from people to just how else can we get the word out and find our supporters.
Ernest, I'm impressed with what you've put together, and this is very much a grassroots effort. I mean, this is not
really is.
You're not doing this full time, man. And we don't need to talk about what your 9 to 5 or what your career, your day job is.
Right.
But you're making time. You're making time in your own busy day and busy schedule for this cause.
Mm-hmm.
What's at the root of you making time for this? You got to be super motivated, super passionate deep down somewhere. What's the reason?
You know, the passion. Well, I mean, the obvious reason, I live right here on the Legends course, right here off of the 8th hole. When my husband and I found this house, it's probably the closest thing that we're going to get to paradise. It's gorgeous. We love the neighborhood. There was that initial my backyard kind of thing, but it turned into just being so much more. I mean, just the community itself around here, around the golf courses, neighborhood has just been more than welcoming since we moved in. And we've been through so much, just like the rest of the city, with homelessness, security issues, just scared. They were scared. They were nervous. And I wanted to help. And I hear them not just necessarily scared, but they too are motivated. They want to help. They want to get out there. They want to donate. They want to storm City Hall. They want to. I sometimes I have to calm them down a little. Just let's hold on. but they keep me going. And we're talking about people well into their 80s that are just concerned for their property, their livelihoods, security. They keep me motivated. There's so much more with the golf course. You don't have to be. I'm not a golfer. In all honesty, I'm not. You don't have to be a golfer to understand that. I mean, golf brings so much more than any sport, really. I mean, the discipline that comes with it, some of the first tee groups that the children golf tournaments that they have here, municipal golf courses are typically more affordable. And with affordability comes diversity. Something that I know Tockwoods Creek Golf is very proud of, that I want to make sure that I continue to keep going.
Made a number of excellent points there. Again, just to reference or re-reference my recent article for Golf Course Industry. I mean, the word that was probably most used, except for or the in the article, was accessibility, in that public golf, municipal golf. And there's a bunch of statistics in there that are supported by these expert sources, is that these golf courses, by way of diversity, by way of affordability, they create accessibility. This is pound for pound by far the biggest entryway into the game for most people, or most kids, or most junior golfers. You know, the other thing that you said, Ernest, I mean, when I first heard about you, and even before I started digging, I mean, in my mind's eye, I thought, okay, this must be a guy that has lived here a long time and that plays that golf course like five times a week. But you are neither one of those things, which makes your efforts all the more impressive.
I do what I can. And like I said, it's the community that keeps me going. I mean, because without getting into what I do Monday through Friday, it can be exhausting, but you make time. You make time.
Eighth hole. Take a look for a Callaway Red One in your backyard. I think that I may have knocked one somewhere near your property line when we were playing there last. Let me ask you lastly, Ernest. I mean, we mentioned the signs. We mentioned the signatures. I should say the signs plurally, because there's a lot of them. Are you sensing a majority support from neighbors that also live on the property, that they are on your side of this this cause?
Clearly. We've recently reached into the, try to get into the HOAs that are around here. We do have a few condo associations, and they're gated, and they do follow different rules, but we have been able to reach out to them, and many of them. Many of their boards do follow, support us. They've managed to work around putting in signs and windows, because you can't necessarily post them. But it's great to see how they want to participate as well.
Ernest, so appreciative of your time. Again, totally respect this grassroots effort that you're helping to lead. Friends, stay tuned for these upcoming announcements. These are going to be happening sometime in the next 4 or 5 weeks, where you, gentle listener, can play an important part, where you can have a voice in this process. Ernest, to conclude, is savepsgolf.org the best way to follow these announcements? Do you have any other suggestions for how folks can keep tabs on what's going on, or how they can participate?
Right now, the petition is the best way that we're getting out updates. Since anyone that does sign, I can push updates to. We are trying to get better at sending out regular updates at least once a week. And so if you could please sign, that would include your email. And from there on, you'll be able to, we can stay in communication.
Ernest, thank you again so much for your time. I'm personally a proponent of saving PS Golf, saving Palm Springs Golf. And again, friends, savepsgolf.org to learn all kinds of information that they've got on a very clearly drawn website. There's some complex issues here, but I like the wording. I like the layout that you guys and gals have used to clearly get across the message, and to clearly get across your mission. Going to be keeping close tabs on this for both writing and broadcast endeavors. Keep up the great work, Ernest. And again, thanks for joining the program, sir.
Sure thing. Thank you, Jed.
All right, folks. Appreciate that time with Ernest. Going to wrap up episode 34 of the Spicer Speaking podcast with the epilogue segment. You know, I open the show observing a sanguine, if not self-fulfilling, anniversary. These past days, recent days, of course, have presented a calendar acknowledgement of a far more solemn nature. Though it's been quite a spell, about a dozen years since my relocating to Southern California, back when I still lived in my native St. Paul, Minnesota, I'd observed 9/11 by annually taking a drive up and down what's called the Wabasha Freedom Bridge, connecting the capital city's downtown over the mighty miss to the city of West St. Paul, or what Twin Cityans might refer to as the West Side. Adorned on that bridge are dozens and dozens, perhaps even hundreds, of American flags. And as I used to take that annual drive, I'd give thanks for being an American and observe a moment of silence for the 2,977 souls lost during that tragic, generation-defining day of yore. This weekend passed in lieu of that flag-laden landmark. I watched National Geographic's 9/11, One Day in America, and to revisit these horrors, to hear from the heroes, provides for me the same shudders as it did two decades ago. And this docuseries, well, I may recommend watching for yourself, as the still remarkable stories of interconnectedness and coincidence and bravery. It's true that we really should never forget, just as we could and should honor the memories of the fallen, the innocent. When applying purview to the dangerous division that we see today on our screens and reading our social scrolls and flipping our magazines and newspapers and view seemingly on a block-to-block basis on our own neighborhood streets. For me, these 9/11 stories serve as a reminder that when we near the slab, most people are actually inherently good and caring and are willing to help one another and risk their own safety to do so. You know, 20 years later, amid a time of red states and blue states, the vaxxed and anti-vaxxers, the left side, the right side, the recallers, the non-recallers, let's perhaps use these painful and dark memories to remember the tenets of cohesion and fellowship and empathy and brotherhood and our own inherent goodness that we all, many if not most of us, certainly felt somewhere inside on that fateful day. And as this is a sports-centric program, may I add that additionally, this weekend past, I paired some pigskin viewing with a watch in part of the respective U.S. Open finals. And not lost on me was the societal analogy of the close of these matches, that after a battle, a win, a loss, a contest of opposing strikes and slams and serves, the ladies and gentlemen still approach one another at the center divide to acknowledge the effort and outcome and embrace, and they do so as respectful competitors. All together now, friends. Thank you so much for supporting and tuning into 1 year of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Hope you enjoyed episode 34. Thank you so much to Ernest Sassena. Again, you can check out his efforts at savepsgolf.org. Check out the petition while you're at it. Of course, this program would not have reached a year, would not be possible without a trio of excellent sponsors. That list starts weekly with Perform Better, performbetter.com. Don't forget about that summer sale. Still in summer. Goes through the end of the month. You get 40% off a bunch of items. I think almost 90 of them. All your gym, fitness, workout needs, you can find that at performbetter.com. Desert Willow Golf Resort, just down the way here in Palm Desert, California. Get your tee times for the Mountain View and Firecliff courses, respectively. Do that online at desertwillow.com. And don't forget to check out the Platinum Club Card. Again, when you purchase that before the onset of October, you can save $100. Internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebree. Find their vast portfolio of domestic courses, courses around the world that they have shot for decades at TheHennebrees, HENEBRYS.com. You're a golf course owner, operator, head super, general manager. You need some fresh photography for your property and golf grounds. want you to hire the Hennebreeze. World-class work there again, thehennebreeze.com. Thank you so much for your time, your interest, your ears. Have a great week, everybody. Be good to one another, and be welcome.